This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
It's forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You guys hear that? Pressure, it reveals our faith life. It's a revealer. An elephant, a little baby elephant, they'll take it and tie it to a pole in the ground, and it can't get away. And it's just an amazing thing to see a full-grown, powerful animal that's kept in place with a rope and a stake in the ground. And all it has to do is feel that rope, and it just knows it's powerless. It won't even try. I mean, it could just take off if it wanted to, but it won't because it's been trained. When it feels that rope, I can't go anywhere. And what that's called is learned helplessness, which I still carry a bunch of, and I'm dealing with it, but we see a lot of it in recovery where I will apply the things I learned when I was young, my limits, what I can do, what I can't do, what's possible in my life, I'll apply that to my future and my present. And I want to say that what I would consider to be probably nearly the number one enemy of our recovery is, I call them twin brothers. It's called victimization, self-pity. Probably number one, awful close. Victimization comes along, you've been done wrong, you've been hurt. You're a victim, and self-pity is right behind it saying, right, poor me, poor me, pour me another drink, right? That kind of thing, right? And it's right there. Dangerous stuff. Being a victim, self-pity, enormous. Victim thinking, self-pity wants me to see my past, my present, my future through the lens of what's happened to me, right? And not just what's happened to me, the enemy's take on what's happened to me. That rope connected to me with the stake in the ground. You know, this is where I'm at. Helen Keller, you know, she has a quote, something along the lines of, self-pity is one of our worst enemies, and if you give in to it, you will do nothing wise. This is what Helen Keller said. You can tell someone that has victim thinking because they're constantly referencing the past, constantly talking about what happened, you know, where I'm coming from. I hear it out of my own mouth a lot. And I'll tell you, as a person that carries some of that, and I hear a lot of it, the fear for me is the reason I don't walk away from this rope and this stake in the ground, you know, one of the reasons I don't walk free is I'm afraid that if I give up this post here, this position, if I just walk free of it, I'm afraid that I'm going to be denying all that happened to me. And I'm going to be minimizing its effect on my life. Did it affect my life? Oh, man. Huge. You know, it's been enormous to walk into life without any tools, you know, neglect, damage, sexual abuse, all this stuff. I mean, it does affect me. Huge. And I'm afraid if I walk away from this rope and everyone doesn't see this place I'm taking, that then they're going to expect me to perform like anyone else. And I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of what that's going to mean, that I'm going to be minimizing all of it. And I want it to be known where I'm coming from. But there is a big difference between an excuse for how I'm living and an explanation, right, of where I'm coming from. And I got to work that out. Self-pity, victimization, victim thinking gives me permission to sit and self-destruct right where I stand in life, to remain helpless and right where I am. It gives me permission to do it. Pride says, I want recognition for my success. Self-pity Victim thinking says, I want recognition for the pain and what's been done to me, right? And you can even see families that are raised in victim thinking, self-pity, is they're always making sure the kids know and the family hears all our tales of woe, how I've been done wrong, we've been done wrong, we're all in this category, and the reason we're helpless is all that's happened to me, right? And there's truth behind it. Wrong's been done. There's victims. No question about it. But victim thinking, self-pity, especially for the addict, it's a teaching. It's actually a teaching that's going on. And it teaches me to not want to be free. You know, it just caresses that. It's compassion turned inward. God's given us all compassion. And that compassion is designed for me to have it for someone else, to love other people, to have that empathy. But now my compassion is all turned inward on me because no one else is going to give it to me. So I use it to self-destruct and soothe me through my own medication, self-medicating. Kind of reminds me of that joke my wife and I, we love, is the guy says he likes to carry bags around with him all the time. And anytime someone wants help, he's like, sorry, I would help, but got these bags, you know. And anytime we're carrying the groceries in, we're saying that to each other, like, I'd help you, but got these bags. And that's a big part of it. So let me read you something here out of Corinthians, and this is really powerful stuff. It says here, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of God, right? Into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. I love that. Tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse. Our thoughts are kind of like the snow that we see. Like today, we saw some snow out there. And our thoughts are like snow, right? And you can cluster them together, but, you know, each thought is kind of like a snowflake, right? Just go with it, right? Let's just go with it. Okay, Stan, thoughts are like snow. Let's go ahead. And something I discovered a few years ago, some of you walked with me through it, is that I discovered, like, the snow was on this stuff, right? And I was depressed, and I was down, and I kept craving, and I kept going through this kind of this cycle. And I'm like, what on earth is going on, right? And I saw that underneath the snow of all these thoughts, there was a form that was actually solid, and it was called my beliefs. Right, and I got alone with God. I got real with some people, and I brushed it off. And sure enough, there it was, the solid form. I saw that little elephant with a rope and the stake, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm a pity addict. Right? I see myself as a victim for crying out loud. Look at it. There it was right in front of me, biggest day, and I had to confront it. I had to confront it. So here it says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. I want maturity. And see, where the Spirit of God is, what? There's freedom. Okay? He's not buying this rope thing. He's like, dude, you're a son of God, right? You're a glorious. Angels await your prayers. You got some authority. I've given you keys. You look pretty awesome. Dude, you're free. You know, we just await your faith, my son. Believe in what I've done. And I really came to an encounter in that where I really knew God was wanting me to put my feet on the ground and exercise some faith. I now had some power, right? He's given me a new identity. He has given me all I need to experience life on God's terms, to walk it out. So when I walk free of that, it's a scary thing. Because now I have to realize something. I am free to feel. I can feel anything. I walk away from that stake and that rope tied to my ankle. I walk completely away into the breeze, into a place I've never been. Kind of scary, but guess what? I can feel. You ever give yourself permission to feel anything? Most people that I know that struggle with addiction, and I'm talking from me here too, they're afraid to feel. And the truth is, if someone took a vial, right, and they were going to inject you with an injection of anxiety, let's say, just going to inject you, and 45 minutes of straight anxiety is going to go, right? Could you handle that? Well, of course. Why? Because it's going to pass. It's just an injection, not a big deal. Bring it on, right? And so I realized, wait a minute, no emotion here is going to kill me or harm me. It's really my refusal to feel it. My kicking and screaming against that anxiety, that's damaging my family. That's causing all this damage in my life. That resisting is what's causing this big wave. Me resisting feeling, I think I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to go in the room and I'm going to feel this. And then I start freaking out and I start panicking. That's doing the damage in my life when I refuse to feel. But what happens if I go, I'm going to go in a room, I'm going to feel a bunch of anxiety, and I go in there and go, well, let's feel it. Bring it on. Like, let's go in here and let's just feel what this big monster feels like. Oh, is this anxiety? Whoa, right? And I just feel it. I've done it. I've been to weddings. I've been to places where I'm like, I'm going to go in there and they're going to be in there and they're going to be. And you go, bring it on. Let's do this. And you just walk in there and stand there in the room. You're an odd man out. Oh, is this it? Is this what I've been running from my whole life? Wow. You know, and you're just free. Bring on the feeling, right? And I have done that. When I was young, you can ask my sister. Hopefully she won't embellish it too much. But I used to be afraid of the dark, right? And as a Christian, we get to confront these things, okay? I had reasons to be afraid of the dark, okay? Anyway, but I know what it's like to walk through dark places now. And my wife's told me before, aren't you afraid going in there? And I'm like, actually, I'm the one to be afraid of when I'm walking in the dark. And I get this powerful feeling of the presence of God on me where I'm like, yeah, there's fear here, but it's on everyone else but me. You know, whatever's lurking in there, look out, because here I come, right? I am feeling this, right? And the coolest thing about being free to feel is if I am free to feel anxiety, fear, pain, all these things, guess what? I don't need an escape. Boom, off my bald head. Boom, right? Pretty amazing. And the plan of God is so glorious and so amazing of how he walks out our recovery. It's such an incredible thing. The work of God and what he does in his sons and daughters, it's profound. And it sounds simple. It's just profound. Let me ask you this here. How does a person walk out 1 year of complete sobriety, right? And I dare you to get along with the Lord and ask him that point blank question. God, how does a person walk out a year of sobriety? And what he's going to put in your heart is going to be something like this. He's going to say, you become the kind of person that can walk out a year of sobriety. That's how it's done, right? And I asked him this last week, God, how does a guy walk out 5 years of sobriety? He says, I am creating in you and I am raising up in you the kind of person that can walk out 5 years of sobriety. It's just absolutely amazing, right? You think about finances, you think about millionaires, they say the same thing. You know, how do you become a millionaire? And I would say before, by filling out lotto tickets, right? By pushing your aunt gently off of a high slope, right? And real millionaires will tell you the way you become a millionaire is you become the kind of person that could generate wealth, that understands and knows how to do that. You can drop them in any town, any city, any place, and they just generate wealth. They know how to do it. Now, that's something that's very shallow. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, walking out this brand new life, he has a vision of you and he has a vision of me if I want to be able to drop you in the darkest place anywhere on this planet, and out of you flows rivers of living water. Out of you flows life, and people are attracted to life. They love it, and they're going to be drawn to you, and they're going to want to come to you, and you're the kind of person that can generate life in the Spirit of God coming out of you and flowing out of you. We're not walking in fear, right? And the evidence sometimes of our testimony is this little rope that dangles free on my ankle. I go, see that, right? You know what that was, right? It's absolutely powerful stuff, right? All right, real example too of some of this victim thinking, self-pity. I'm bring this down a little bit closer to home. Real example, you know, say along with me that we use real examples at the underground. Ready? We use real examples at the underground. Yeah, we do. No artificial sweeteners or colors. This is real. Okay, real example. This is a real conversation. Okay, now this is going to challenge you on victim thinking and self-pity and what we do. Okay, this is so real to me. Okay, here's a real conversation. I'm upset, I'm discouraged, I'm disgruntled, I can't deal. And you go, well, what's going on? Well, it's my boss. What's going on with your boss? Okay, my boss never appreciates what I do, never gives me not even one single pat on the back, doesn't tell me good job, gives me no confidence, doesn't treat me like a professional, never tells me anything that encourages me. It's like the only encouragement I get is a paycheck. Okay, the truth is, and this is what we say, they didn't upset you. Your boss didn't upset you. You upset you because of what you're thinking about your boss, right? In fact, people can't upset me. You can't upset me. I upset me because of what I think about what you say to me. Okay, this is an absolute truth, right? And so, yes, this person, okay, this thing with your boss. Whose job is it that you are encouraged about yourself, that you feel good about yourself, that you feel like you're a professional? Whose job is it for your self-image and your sense of security and peace about you? And that has to sit there for a little bit, right? Whose job is that? Because it sounds like you're all up in your boss's business. I mean, it sounds like you're all up in with your parents and you're trying to tell them what to do and how they're supposed to be. And because of the way you're thinking about how they're supposed to be, you're getting all upset, right? Because it sounds like you're saying it's your boss's job. That's what it sounds like to me, right? And you got to think about this. And you go, okay, what is it that you really want to hear from your boss? That if your boss said this to you, you'd be the shining star on the job, right? And they say, well, you're really good at what you do. You show up on time. You're professional. You know, you're gifted. You make this business run. You know, you're a really good employee. And you ask, well, do you ever tell yourself that? Do you ever say that to yourself? Oh, well, no. And I'm like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you want your boss to do something for you that you're not even willing to do? Like, let me ask you this. Why are you farming out this encouragement to your boss in this empowerment over who you are, how you feel about what you do? Why are you farming this out to other people that they apparently can't do it? Like, your boss can't do it. Like, you're saying that not only is it their job to run the company and be the boss, but now they're also in charge of your emotion and how you are as a person. Right? That you're okay, that you're professional, that you're good at this, right? And see, this is what I'm saying here, is God has given us a brand new identity. We stand before heaven completely accepted with the applause, yes, What Jesus did worked on you. It worked. You're forgiven. You're accepted. You're part of the beloved. Amen. Awesome. Now go live it. Believe it, right? Walk in it. We're totally accepted and loved by God. That's a pretty amazing thing. And we have an incredible story in here. I believe it's in Samuel, where David had been rejected by an army that he wanted to go fight with. And they said, no, we don't want you in this army. And then all of the 400 men that loved and trusted him, they all lost, and their families were taken from their homes, raped and pillaged type thing. And they all what? They all turned on David, like all of them. They wanted to kill him. All of his best buddies and friends that he rubbed elbows with in the ditches hated his guts, wanted to kill him. This is a position David was in. But David knew he doesn't farm out something that's very intimate, his identity, who he is, how he is, right? He doesn't farm that out to people. He doesn't let that have sway, you know, where I'm going, but you thought, but you said, but you did. No, no, no. That's not going to get in here to a man like David. It says that David, see, this is why that picture is so awesome, is it looks like me when I had hair. Just kidding. Is David knew something. Says he what? You guys know it. What was it? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That was the hinge point in his whole life that turned him around, where he at that moment heard from God, was led by God, victorious in God, and stepped onto his throne from that very, very dark place. Why? Because God had created in him the kind of person that could stand and flow with living water when everything was against him. He knew how to do it. He knew how it was done. I mean, we're talking about power here. That's power. That's presence. That's a know-how I want and I need in my life. He doesn't farm out anything about in here. Who else could do that? Well, Jesus, no one could do it better. He knew how, when all the chips were down, when everything was turned against him, he knew how to do it. This is one of our finest skills to know how to do as the people of God. This is it, man. This is the stuff. See, here's the thing. As a person coming out of addiction and out of the lifestyle I came out of, I want you to know, I'm responsible for my thinking. I am responsible for the emotions that come out of that thinking. If I'm feeling a certain way, I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible to walk into embracing that and to take apart my thoughts and say, okay, here's the results Stan's getting. These are the results I'm getting in my life. Okay, is this thinking right now getting the results that I'm wanting, that God died for me to have and walk out of my life? Is this part of my calling? And if this thought isn't serving me, it's out, right? If this thought isn't serving the kingdom of God and the presence and power of God, then I'm sorry, it's going to be removed and it has to be replaced. And this is work. And I'll just end with this. I had a few weeks ago, I was really looking at my model of how I operate in my mind. And when I'm feeling crummy, this whole pattern going, man, this has got to go, right? Because I'm farming out this stuff to people. And I'm just really tired. I have actually farmed out how I feel about my position as a minister to you guys, right? If I get enough attaboys, if I get enough good job, if I get enough texts, I actually farm that out. And then if I don't get enough, I'm like, you know, and this isn't right. It's not right because this is between me and God. And how could God speak through people if we're afraid of people and we're trying to please people? There's no way. How's that going to work? Right? It's never going to work. So I'm walking along and I had this thing happen between me and a family member that really, really hurt. And it wasn't this family member. It was a pattern. Like, why am I in this dark thinking again? I'm saying these statements I've said to other people all my life. I'm in the same scenario. What on earth is going on with me? And I'm walking around church property grinding away, going, God, what is this? Like, what is this? Like, really, what is this? And this thought came to me, Stan, what is it that if this person said to you, like if this person that so hurt you, if they said this to you, you would suddenly be full of sunshine and joy and you'd be back. What is it that you need to hear from them? And I was like, well, then I'm a really good guy, that I try really hard. I work hard at what I do. I'm loving. That my position in the family is rock solid. They're glad I came along. And that I'm just loved. That I'm in. That I'm in the family. And I'm just loved, right? And they appreciate me. And the thought was, well, what are you waiting for? Like, why are you farming that out on this person? Like, me and the God of the universe are standing there, and I'm like, what am I waiting for? Stan, you work really hard at what you do. You really, really care. You put your nose to it. You know how to study. You know how, you're learning how to overcome. You've come through some really dark places. Me and God, we're awesome. Like, me and God, we're pretty awesome. Like, we're amazing, right? When we walk together, man, anything's possible. Man, Stan, I'm so glad that you come along and you're here in this town and you're doing what you're doing and you're just mighty in Christ when you walk in faith in the power of God. That's an awesome thing to see. And you know what? In the most baby way, Stan encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'm like, well, for crying out loud, there it is. Right? That's right. And the farm closed down. I stopped. I stopped putting that out. And so I close this section out here. Let me read this one last time here just to hammer this home. It says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. He's our mighty King. Our tools are ready at hand, right here, right now, for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Right? Guys, I'm just saying, the gospel sets us free of that rope and stake. We are free. We are free to roam. We're free to run. We're free to feel. We aren't victims anymore. We are victorious. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the gospel and its power and the way you set us free. Help us just to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, for you are so encouraging. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. I see.